For a president getting ready, that is ready, for a hard re-election battle next year, November 2020, President Trump has a lot, yes, I mean a lot to worry about. I'm Ruz Alibadi, join me as in this episode, we'll be looking at Trump, Bolton, and US foreign policy. So, let's begin. Well, Democrats are now taking more of the United States political spotlight, with all these Democratic debates that are being televised and widely viewed. We just had one last week. Well, in fact, the latest opinion polls don't look too good for Mr. Trump. There are signs that the strong US economy, well, President Trump's top selling point, may in a way begin to look pretty bad in the coming months. And for US foreign policy, which is an area where United States presidents typically, or I should say historically, at least in the past 4 or 5 decades, have a lot of leeways, President Trump knows that he needs to make some deal. Yeah, some deals. And he needs to do it fast. I'm referring to his November 2020 deadline, of course. So let's look at this backdrop for this big news we got from Washington this last week. Well, Trump's firing his national security advisor, John Bolton. Well, I don't know about you, but I'll be missing John's very unique and thick mustache around the White House. Well, media debate this week has centered on whether President Trump and somehow, in a way, in a very clever manner or smartly saved America from this warmonger known as John Bolton, or whether, in a way, dismissing a knowledgeable foreign policy hand who has been willing to challenge the president openly, and now we're back to this course of this erratic policy driven and Trump want to do it alone. So let's look instead at the central point of this philosophical differences between the two men. Yes, I'm referring to Mr. Trump and Mr. Bolton. And what really that tells us and what comes next for US foreign policy? Well, Mr. Trump's choices up to this point thus far suggest that he believes he can make a pretty good deal with anyone. Well, he's been a businessman, he's been in real estate, so he really believes that, given the right mixes of carrots and sticks, of course. On the other hand, Mr. Bolton, in a way, suggests that he's convinced that when the other side, we're talking about the enemy, believe that its core interests are at stake, well, real substantive deals aren't really possible and force becomes necessary. So why don't we look at a few examples around the world so we can explain this philosophical differences better? Why don't we start with Afghanistan? Well, in Afghanistan, the president wants to end this almost 2 decades war. Yes, the longest in United States history. John Bolton reportedly fought against the president's recent plan to talk to the Taliban at Camp David. Well, it seems that the president lost that battle. Well, President Trump's view is that war cannot end unless Washington strikes a deal with the Taliban. Maybe he's right, which still controls a big percentage of Afghan territory. Yes, almost half of the country. On the other hand, Mr. Bolton's view is that the Taliban isn't really trustworthy at all, and there is no deal to be made that would prevent this reemergence of Afghanistan as a terrorist training ground for the Taliban and other terrorist organizations. Well, the jury is still out on that. So why don't we look at another example? Let's take a look at Iran. On Iran, Trump, of course, as he has said many times, wants to sit down with the president of Iran, Hassan Rouhani, in New York, on the sideline of UNGA, known as United Nations General Assembly, opening this month, and has in a way signaled, in a way, willingness to ease this very tough US sanctions on Iran. Mr. Bolton, who also authored an op-ed sometimes, I think in the New York Times back in 2015, under this headline of "To Stop Iran's Bomb, Bomb Iran," naturally opposes both ideas in a way. President Trump will say that the purpose of pressure on Iran is to secure a better deal than the one Barack Obama signed in 2015, known as JCPOA, or Joint Comprehensive Plan of Actions. But Bolton will counter that as saying its Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei, not the President Rouhani, who will decide Iran's nuclear policy. And he makes a good point, of course, and that any relief of pressure on Iran will provide its leaders time to restart its nuclear program. That's Bolton's point of view. Let's look at a few other examples. Let's start with North Korea. Mr. Trump believes talking to Kim Jong-un is more clever and smart than pushing him towards the testing of these missiles that he has been doing, yes, the little rocket man, that might reach the United States mainland. Well, Bolton will argue that Mr. Kim will never willingly surrender his nuclear weapons and that Kim is not to be trusted. Now, why don't we travel back to the American continent? On Venezuela, Mr. Trump can insist that the U.S. should secure a deal with the president, Nicolas Maduro's friend in Moscow. Yes, I'm talking about Vladimir Putin. That removes Maduro from power. Mr. Bolton is saying that Russia won't bargain in good faith, and that the only maximum pressure on Venezuela's economy and maybe the credible threat of regime change can force Venezuela's military to remove Maduro themselves. Now, here's the bottom line for Trump, Bolton drama that we're seeing. Well, the next year may prove that on all these important foreign policy issues, be it about North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, and elsewhere, both men are actually correct. Trump is right that he cannot hope to make peace without offering the other side something of substance. But if the enemy isn't really serious about giving Trump what he really wants, grand bargain in a way, as Bolton has been warning all along, a hollow deal might boost Trump's politically and for the campaign trail, but without really serving United States interests in the long run. Well, this is the main reason that President Trump may be forced to stand before voters next November 2020 without a grand bargain to sell. Well, we'll be watching.